Amen. It is so good to see each and every one of you here this morning. It's good to be together as God's people with a purpose of praising Him and learning from Him and striving to be as He's called us to be. You know, every one of us was born to aspire. Perhaps you've heard some of these statements, or you will hear them at some point in your life. Maybe you've heard the statement, the encouragement, reach for the stars. Perhaps you've heard, be all that you can be. Spread your wings and fly. Dream big. And all of these are good. They are all beautiful. They challenge us, and every one of them has a certain mindset, a focus, if you will, and a determination within them to succeed. But there's a flaw in them. And the flaw is maybe twofold. Number one, where's the focus? Because typically these statements look within us. You were born for success. It looks within. And these also have to do with what do we determine to be success? What is success? Is success rising to the top of the ladder in the corporate world? Is success acquiring a certain amount of money? Is success being able to do whatever you want to do in life? What is true success? In our text this morning, which Dylan read for us just a moment ago, Paul sets before us some things that we are to strive for as Christians. One individual, a commentator on this, said that this is one of the golden paragraphs of the Bible, because in this passage, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul sets before us a new life in Christ, and he tells us that our life in Christ is an active life. It is not a passive life. It is not a life in which when we become Christians, suddenly we think, well, I can relax and turn it all over to God. No. God calls us to live a certain way. He calls us to strive for some things. And he sets before us, Paul that is, a focus and some essential tools that we need, powerful reason of why we need to strive for these things. And this morning, if you are here as a Christian, my goal is to try to bring to your understanding, your minds, what Paul is saying in the sense of where your ambition lies, what you're striving for, and why it's so important. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I hope that what I can do is share with you the things that Paul says to Christians in such a way that you think, before you leave this place this morning, I want to be one of those people. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a child of God. I want to be called His child. So let's look at it. Let's look at what he says. He begins by talking about our new focus. And he starts with this. If you have been raised with Christ, what does he mean? If you have been raised with Christ. I haven't died yet, not physically. I'm not in heaven. So what does he mean? Paul is looking back in our lives as Christians. He's looking back to a point in our lives when we were baptized and then we were raised for something. We died a death. If you're a Christian, you died a death at a point in your life, and it was the moment that you were baptized into Christ. If you go over and look at Romans chapter 6, Paul kind of spells it out for us, because there he says in verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized or were baptized into his death? And then just a little bit later in verse 4, he says we were buried, and then he tells us later in that how we were buried, with him by baptism into death. So Paul says you died. Earlier in this same epistle in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, he makes the statement that you and I have been buried with him in baptism, and then he goes on to add that we have also been raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who is the same God that raised Christ from the dead. So when Paul makes this statement, he's drawing from all of these things. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, he says, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we too might walk in newness of life. Here it is. if you're a Christian, the point of your baptism, you died. And then you were raised up with Christ. Our old self, Paul says, was crucified with Christ. All those sins, our body of sin, as he points out there in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, was done away with. And now, each of us here this morning who are Christians stand between two worlds. There is the old world that is saying, come back to me, do what you used to do, enjoy the life you used to be a part of. And there is the new world that we are striving for that is saying, you've risen to a higher calling. You have a greater purpose now. You have something that you're working toward, longing for, expecting. And so our focus is different because we have been raised up with Christ. And that's why Paul calls us to do two things, to seek and to set. He says, seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. If you're seeking something, you desire it, you're longing for it. You ever lost a set of keys? You're seeking them. You're turning the house upside down. I know I left them somewhere. They've got to be around here somewhere. You're seeking them. And you have a desire to find them because you know, until I find those keys, I can't go anywhere. Until I find those keys, I can't get into my shop. Until I find those keys, whatever it may be. We desire the things above where Christ is, that is in heaven. And every day we deliberately commit ourselves to the values of our true home, heaven. Because the value system of heaven is so much greater than the value system of this world in which we live. As Jesus himself said, seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And that's what we now choose to do in our lives. We are striving to seek God's kingdom. We're striving for that which is important. So there's the seeking part. Then there's the second aspect of that. Set your minds on things above. Let me ask you a question. What is it that holds your attention this morning? I can tell you that where one of my grandsons is concerned, that his attention would be held by a video game. And then once that video game's going, you don't get him his attention for anything else. But what holds your attention this morning? What is it that you're focused upon? What do you keep thinking about? Paul says that our minds, following our baptism, are to be set upon heaven. Do you ever think about it? You ever think about what heaven is going to be like, what you are longing for, what Scripture teaches us that is awaiting us if we are children of God? You and I have a spiritual passport, if you will. And on that passport, country of origin, country of residency, or whatever you want to call it, home country, heaven. That's what your spiritual passport says. Because Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that you are citizens of heaven. And that we eagerly await a Savior who is coming from there. That's what we long for, because we want to go home. Some of you have traveled outside this country and you come back in and you show your passport and you hear the words welcome home from one of those people at passport control. And it is so good to hear. But can you imagine hearing the words that you long for all of your life as a child of God? Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. There are no more beautiful words that you will ever hear than those words, because then you're truly home, and it's where you long to be. And so you've set your mind, you set your affection on things above where Christ is. And as Christians, we see everything. We see everything in the light of eternity, of what is to come. Things of this world, wealth, honor, power, pleasure, they don't matter anymore because, you know, my home's there. And we are busy, as Jesus says, we're busy laying up treasure in heaven. Because remember, where your treasure is, there your heart is also, right? So that is the first thing he tells us. You have a new focus if you're a Christian this morning. Then he adds something else to it in this very next verse. We have a motivation that presses us in that direction, that encourages us, and it is our new status. Your new focus is based upon your new status. And the new status, according to Paul, is first of all, we've died. And I've already touched on that, the fact that we have died. And we've been raised with Christ. And what does that mean? It is our spiritual baptism, as I said. And when we were baptized into Christ, we were buried with Him, we died in a spiritual way, we've risen. We were baptized into Christ's death, we've been crucified with Christ. We have, as Paul says, we have died to sin. All of that is behind us. All of that is gone. It is no more in our lives. And because it is no more, your life, as Paul says, is now hidden with Christ in God. You ever hidden anything? Why do you hide something? I don't want the kids to get into it. I know how that is. We had teenagers one time, and if you want to keep that piece of candy that you really cherish, you better find that one place to hide it for safekeeping. Otherwise, they'll find it and it's gone. But what does it mean to be hidden with Christ in God? It has the idea of security. It has the idea with it of of inseparable nation, that you're not separated from God. He has taken you and He has hidden you in Christ. The way that David puts it over in Psalm 27 verse 5 helps us to better understand it, because what David said there is, He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. It's the idea of security. Our young people have put it in a song, a hymn. Maybe you recognize these words. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. In the day of trouble, neath the shelter of Your wings, hide me away, O Lord. If you're a Christian today, God has hidden you away under the shelter of His wings, and He is keeping you safe until the last day when He shall take you home to be with Him eternally. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, Paul asked a series of questions, if you will. He says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword, or peril, or sword? He said, what will separate us from the love of Christ? And then just a little bit later, down in verse 38, he says, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate me from, or us, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Why? Because God has hidden you away in Christ, and there's nothing that's going to separate you from the love that God has for you and His desire to redeem you at the last day. So Christ is now our life. It's not our work, not our sports, or our hobbies, or anything else that we may have preoccupied ourselves with. Our life is hidden with Christ. That's where our focus is. That's what we're longing for. And there's a reason for all of that. It has to do with our reward. It's what awaits you. And this is what Paul brings out. It's what Dylan read for us. He says that, first of all, this reward that is ours is going to be revealed to us when Christ is revealed to us. Folks, there's something in the works. Something that's coming. And we are closer to it now than we've ever been in our lifetime. It's our Lord's future coming. And Scripture talks about it. Jesus talks about it. If you look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, here's what Paul brings out, that the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, he says that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. In Revelation 1, verse 7, and Donnie shared this past week, he made the statement Jesus did through the Apostle John, is that he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him. He's going to be manifested. There's not a single one of us, there's no one that will miss his coming. And in Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus himself said that when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne. He's coming. And there's a purpose behind that coming, threefold. One, he's going to subdue his adversaries, death, and the power of Satan in our lives. And all of his minions will be cast in the lake that burns with eternal fire. Second, he is going to reward his saints. You, God's people, will be called home. As Paul says, the Lord will give you the crown of righteousness on that day. Is it something you long for? And thirdly, he will be vindicated for who he truly is. You go back to Philippians chapter 2, and you look at verses 9 through 11, and what you find Paul saying there to us is that God has highly exalted him, that is Christ, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, that day is coming. I don't know when, but I know we're closer now than we were when we were born. But it is coming. And then there's the other part of that. Christ is going to be revealed, and then what does he say for us? That we will be revealed with him in glory. You know, you go out in your yard, if you're like me, especially around here, you've got a lot of oak trees. You look on the ground, and what do you see? You see all those little acorns. They're kind of small and significant. But you know what comes from one of those? Just look at what it fell from. A big old tree with a great root system and a large trunk and massive limbs reaching toward the sky. But it all started with that. You see, that tree is growing in its fullness. In much the same way, our body, our tent, as Paul states it, in which we presently live, he says that we groan while we're in this tent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he tells us why we groan. The reason that we groan while we're still here upon this earth, living in this earthly body, is because, as he says in verse 2, that you and I long to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. He tells us what's so special about that dwelling. He says that in verse 1, it is a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And it's on the day of our Lord's return that, according to what Paul says back there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, that Jesus Christ will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with what he calls his glory by the exertion of the power which he has even to subject all things to himself. So what is it we long for? We long for that day when this, excuse the expression, this tired old body gets to go through a transformation and it becomes a new body, reunited with the soul that has lived for all eternity or will live throughout eternity. And it is a new body, eternal in the heavens. But it's not made by anybody's hands. It's made by God himself. When Christ returns in His glory, you too are going to be revealed in glory. Because as Paul goes on, or excuse me, as John says over in 1 John chapter 3, and there in verse 2, he says that we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. On that day, you and I will see all of our flaws laid aside. Because what we will put on is something far greater. Something that will reflect the glory of our Lord. Now, my question for you this morning is this. What is it that you seek today? What do you long for today, right now, where you're at? Do you long for a home in glory? Do you long for an eternal existence beyond your greatest imagination? If so, then I want to encourage you to set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I want to encourage you this morning that while you live in this world as a Christian, do not live as someone who's a part of this world. Recognize this world's not my home. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm eagerly awaiting my Savior. I'm longing for Him to come back for me. The reason I say that is because if you're a Christian this morning, you died to the world's charms years ago. However long ago it was that you put Christ on in obedient faith of being buried with Him in baptism. And your life now is hidden with Christ in God, and you're waiting for the day of your revealing as a son or daughter of God in all of your glory. And if you're a Christian here today, then my goal this morning is to encourage you to live up to your calling, to walk in a way that is worthy of your calling. Because you've been called heavenward. You're striving for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you don't want to miss out on that. You don't want to let that pass you by. Because there is nothing else that is offered that can compare. God who created you. God whose Son sustains your very life at this moment extends to you His call. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you shall find rest to your souls. He promises to transform you, to create you in His image. This morning, there's a fountain free. It's for you, it's for me. I want you hasten to come. Won't you do so as together we stand and sing.